Welcome to Pisces Rising.
I'm Ash.
And I'm Heather.
We want to talk about astrology with you.
Go deep or go home.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Pisces Rising.
We're back to talk, to put some light in the doom.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
You know, it's Scorpio season. Scorpio is ruled by Pluto, and Pluto gets such a bad rap.
Yeah, Pluto and both Scorpios get a bad rap, but clearly the Pluto transits are the ones, one that lasts forever, and that are just really heavy. They're dark night of the soul transits.
Yeah, I mean, they transform you, so it's not easy. Like, the thing about Pluto transits, and I've read for a lot of people lately who have been going through Pluto square Pluto specifically, which to me is like the ultimate Pluto transit that everyone goes to around age like 38 or whatever. But yeah, it's like this really intense time of like immense pressure on the self that ultimately when you come out of it, you feel completely transformed. And that's the gift of Pluto. It does offer this sense of transformation, but you have to be willing to face what's inside to get there.
Yeah. We were just in a way talking about shame in our last podcast. And Pluto is a planet that forces you to look at your shame. And that is 100% the way to heal. So even though it's slow and it's heavy, there's a part of it that does not allow for denial and will command you do the shadow work. So yes, it brings the dark night of the soul. It's like, hey, face yourself. When you're going through a Pluto transit, it is going to feel like a dark night of the soul energy. But when you come out of it, it's always amazing. It's hesitant, but it's amazing because you can look back and you will find that people will say, I wouldn't change that because it made me who I am. And that's like making you resilient, making you equipped to not be afraid, making you want and desire to challenge yourself to get through stuff. Because when you do get through that tunnel, you know, it's my guess is, you know how people are always talking about the light that they see when they almost die and then they come back?
The tunnel.
Like, it's kind of like feeling that energy of rebirth. Like, you don't go through the tunnel and die. Like, if you go through the tunnel and you survive, you then feel and carry that light. There is the thing that I mentioned today, and I didn't say what it was in my video for Instagram or whatever those reels, is there's Pluto makes you transform, but once you transform, what you can then do is you can transfigure. And transfiguration is when you just turn that intensity to light. Mm-hmm. But you need to understand what it's like to go through that intensity. You're not going to be Zen Buddha out of the womb for the rest of your life. So Pluto really equips you for like a tough skin or an understanding of how to protect yourself, how to protect your emotions. And it's such an emotional planet, regardless of what sign it's in, that when you feel the square, when you get hit with the transit, it's so uncomfortable that it makes you want to change things that have been sitting in your body for a really long time. Desire change.
Definitely. It's a complete leveler in some ways. It's like Kali energy, if you're familiar with the goddess Kali. It's super empowering because it allows you to destroy in an intentional way rather than like, oh, I'm going to just completely like mess up everything in my life. Yes, Pluto could do that too. But when you access that energy and when you get in touch with it, you can use it to your benefit. You can use it to clear away stuff that has been keeping you down for a long time. You can like rid yourself, not rid yourself necessarily actually, but like completely grow from trauma. You can grow out of those things that have maybe held you back. And to me, it's like stepping out of the role of victim and becoming this like empowered being. That's kind of how I think about the bright side of Pluto.
Yeah, that was perfect. It is an intentional deconstruction. I've never thought about that before, or intentional destruction.
Mm-hmm.
It's like taking the bricks down, like going inside yourself and you know, finding the root of the issue and then going through it at that root and recreating it.
Mm.
I don't really know how to word this. I also feel like Pluto feels very damp in the body, and it's very much about like your organs and your gut. Probably the sacral area, I guess you could say. And I think when you experience these transits, it's a way to bring you back to your inner child, but the embodied inner child, because you're going to find that Pluto will affect your physical body. This is very much when stored emotion then turns into a physical concern.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're experiencing the Pluto transit and you have a physical concern, the knowing that it's emotional and the knowing how to explore, there's a desire to explore. There's a desire to go into the darkness. There's a desire to fight to be less afraid. And when you're experiencing other long-term transits, it doesn't bring the willingness or the need to heal. And it also can bring, ideally, can bring an understanding to death, a curiousness and an understanding.
Yeah, an acceptance. But more than that, yeah, it's more of like a, yeah, it's a fearlessness. Like, Pluto really can make you, I think more than any other planet, confront the idea of fear and the unknown. And that's exactly what death is, you know?
Yes. Yeah, because it, you embrace the change, especially when the choice is taken out, when you just know that it has to be about change and you know that it's going to be a long, slow change. By any chance, are your Pluto transits for the people you're reading in connection to divorces?
One of them, there was, yeah, like the dissolving of a long-term relationship in kind of a dramatic way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll reevaluate. For those people experiencing Pluto, like those people that are the same age having the same transit, like going through this with someone is a whole nother challenge, but it could also be the rebirth or the death of relationships. Because when you're coupled up with people like that are the same age as you, you know, you experience your Saturn return with them. Not exactly at the same time, but you feel the, you know, you feel it in your own way. And planets like Pluto make it so you want that change to be private, even in relationship, even when you're going through it in a relationship.
It's personal, yeah.
Yeah. But having space to really go in it could also, I think, bring out the truth of your personal relationships, whether it's your relationship with your mother or your dad or your sister or your friend or your lover. And in those intimate relationships, those lover relationships, it's really going to make it so settling is not an option. And the craving for a deep relationship with someone that can see what you're going through is going to become stronger. There's going to be a place for that. Like, oh, I don't want to feel alone. So even though Pluto kind of does feel alone, it also doesn't want to feel alone. And actually not in a misery loves company kind of way. There's some of that there, but it's more of like, when it's over, when you've gone through it and it's over, and then you talk about it or you reflect on it, what you're going to find is you're not going to want people that can't hold space for that kind of energy. One, just so it doesn't happen again, or if it happens, you know, if it happens again, you have some sort of support, because looking back, you're going to be like, oh,
yeah,
I want support. But the other thing is, it does bring out the deepest, darkest truths. It brings out the hard truths. And when you face the hard truths, you can become fearless, going back to that energy of no fear.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Wow. That's super insightful. It's so funny because I tend to when I see that I have a Pluto transit coming up, I'm like, oh God, why? But just in talking about this, I'm realizing it's all like in a reframing because yes, it's intense. It's not necessarily going to be easy. When you see that those are coming up, you're like, no, especially because they do last like 3 or 4 years off and on. Like you'll get little breaks as Pluto stations retrograde or goes direct. You'll have like these little windows of a break, but they do last a really long time. But I think that's kind of the magic of Pluto. It's that slow, heavy motion. And it doesn't come like in a whirlwind, you know. It's very like drawn out and subtle and below the surface. And in that way, it can almost sneak up on you. So it's kind of cool to be somebody who's interested in astrology and who reads about it because you have that awareness going in. Because I feel like it might be so confusing for people who don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like getting caught in the storm.
Yeah.
That's, oh man, you said one sentence that really got me. I'm going to have to listen back on it because now I'm blanking already. Short-term memory from the marijuana. But something about it being really slow, like, and
it's subtle and under the surface. Was it that? Like slow? And
yeah. You used two really good words.
Okay.
It was, you know, different than subtle, I think. But you're right. The awareness of Pluto is always very helpful. And, like, it's very interesting to see my partner who has a Scorpio rising. And I almost sent you this the other day. There was a bunch of eighth house energy. So there was a bunch of Cancer energy in the eighth house.
Okay.
Like, four planets on top of a Scorpio rising. And I was like, wow, this is very Scorpio. This is why my person comes off as very Scorpio. But he's always dealing with the fucking basement, under the car, water leaks, plumbing issues.
You're right. He does, you know, do that.
It's always a water issue. And Pluto transits, you know, water being emotion, water being, you know, potentially damp and heavy in the body, but also something you need and something that you need to purify. It purifies the water. You know, Pluto will purify the water, but it will do it by putting fucking mercury or plutonium in your body. Plutonium is, you know, toxic. And yeah. It's like if the toxins actually purify your energy. And really, there's no way around it. There's no way around Pluto. If you want it, if you want to know the bright side of Pluto, you have to go through it.
Yeah, you're right. There's no avoiding it or staying on the outside and being like, oh, it's pretty, it's nice. No, you have to go through it. I'm like thinking of that kid's song, it's mud, you can't go around it, you have to go through it. Beautiful.
Yep.
Mud.
Yep.
Yeah, it's exactly like that, because the only way to really understand it is to live through it. It's hard to like, it's hard to describe. I mean, I, you know, if you just go back to the myth of Pluto or like the myth of Hades in like the Greek tradition, it's like what creates the seasons, what creates winter and summer. Like that was their description of it, was that Hades would kidnap Persephone, who was the goddess of spring and summer. Every winter he'd pull her underground, which would cause the winter to happen. He would keep her prisoner underground, and then he'd let her come back up in the spring, and that would initiate the season. So it's like, yes, that's horrible and really scary, but it's like, that is what gives us the seasons, or that was like their description for that anyway.
And what you're talking about is with astrology, with seasons, with anything, it's always, anything universal, it's always good to go into it and to go what's happening. You don't try to plant a garden outside in December because it doesn't make sense. You just can't do it. It's when you go in, it's when the roots need to regenerate, it's when the bulbs need to regenerate. So
yeah.
We essentially need winter. If we kept having summer, you know, like even in the tropical climates, yeah, there's production and you get your fruits and vegetables, but it's not really balanced. That was what you said. It was the leveling planet. That was
oh,
one of the things you
okay.
said. You
All
referred
right.
to Pluto as the leveling planet. That
yeah.
was one of the things that really got me.
Okay,
it's like,
cool.
Yeah, it is the leveler, because it's like the shadow with the light. It's like the eclipse. Pluto and eclipses are also equivalent in the same kind of vein
yeah.
of like they're going to bring great changes. Yeah, eclipses might bring them quicker and might bring them more through the seasons, especially if you're experiencing a nodal return. But Pluto, thank God there's not a Pluto return.
Oh my God, yeah, we would never live through it. I mean, the United States just had their Pluto return.
Yeah.
So countries can have Pluto returns, but humans can't. We don't live long enough.
Yeah.
Because that would be intense.
And look at the past couple years.
I know.
Of the Pluto return and building up to the Pluto return. This is probably the biggest change our country has seen ever.
It's been a shit show.
Yeah.
For lack of a more eloquent term.
Yeah. The cancel culture.
Yeah.
The, like, forced to be in your house for 2 weeks, 2 months, or however long, like all of this energy. And that's like when Pluto was coming in, which is when you feel it most. When it's returned, it's like, okay. But Pluto coming in, I think I've told this podcast before, the story in the podcast before, and this isn't necessarily the light side of Pluto at all, but it's a very interesting story and I have to tell it again because it's fitting. I was reading for this young girl who had some sort of maybe autism, very intelligent, and her mom had brought her over here, and that we kind of became friends, or I was helping her from the beginning. She was over here. The mom lived in Japan.
A teenager or something?
Yeah, a teenager. Yeah. And it wasn't a mentorship, but they would, I met them, we hit it off, they came to see me, and the mom wanted somebody for her to connect with, because the mom was going back to Japan to work. And she was staying in, like, some, like, I don't know, Spurwink or something. And this was years ago. It was going to be, like, my first transit chart. It was my first transit chart. So I was maybe 28.
Okay.
I started reading natal way before transits. And I see she has a stellium in the sixth house with Capricorn and Pluto going into Capricorn in the eighth house. And it Pluto was about to hit all of these planets and they were all in close conjunction. And it was like that day I was like, oh my God, this girl is like going to herself. She is not built for this. And she was supposed to come in for the reading. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm seeing this. I went at the time, I like didn't have the app on my phone. I had the chart printed from Astro Dienst with the wheel, and I could see Pluto like boom, 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 boom. And it was like right at that very second, like it's coming. And that was like 11 o'clock.
It's coming.
You know? Yeah, it's pretty much. And it's slowly been, and I can slowly, after already knowing her for like 6 months, I already saw the intensities kind of decline and the fear of her mother leaving and all that energy coming up.
What do you even say at that point? Because you know it's not going to be good.
The mom was getting ready back to go. She was supposed to come in. She didn't want to stay at this place by herself without her mom. She wanted to go back to Japan, so she jumped out the window and she broke her leg.
Whoa. I don't think you have told that story. I don't remember that.
So I didn't do the chart that day, you know? But I like kind of saw it coming. I was like, wow, this is like...
Is she okay? Like, where is she now?
She's totally fine. All right. She got through the school. She went through college. I mean, this literally was like 14, 15, 16 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like really interesting to see the progression and see the Pluto. And that's the cool thing, too. When you're an astrologer and you know people and you know their charts and you see these things play out, you could learn so much. Transits were so intimidating for a long time. But now when I see these transits play out, you learn so much about the planet. I've learned so much about Pluto because of seeing so many Pluto's transits instead of just reading about Pluto. Because when you see the transits, especially a Pluto transit, you see the person heavy, you see them, you feel them, you see them sink into the depression. And then you see the, you know, it kind of like begins to fade. And then if they're resilient enough, if they're strong enough, it's like they get sober, they have a rebirth, they change. They're all of a sudden like, oh, I needed to go through this because I'm supposed to be in Hawaii. And I would have never figured that out if I didn't, you know, spend these winters in Maine and go through all these things. So when you see the rebirth of Pluto, it is like, you know, you would think that it would bring a looking over your shoulder, waiting for the next heavy thing to happen. You would think that it does that, but it actually does not, because it's like that it's not really instant, but I think it feels kind of instant because it doesn't feel instant coming in. It feels like pressure coming down on you and down on you and down on you. You feel more and more pressure. You feel heavier and heavier.
Yes. That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, but then when it lifts, right? It doesn't happen slowly. It's like all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, I'm not depressed. I'm right. not this. I'm not that. And then you look back and you get the wisdom. Okay, so technically you get the wisdom from Pluto after you've been through it, if you've succeeded.
Yeah.
And it, again, is way easier if you know about astrology because you can work with it. You can deliberately go into the
know
shadow.
Know the dates of when your transits are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can be like, oh, this is when it's going to be exact. This is when I need to have the most awareness.
And this is when I can be the most real with myself. That's when you can be true to yourself if you're not denying. Because again, Pluto will not bring denial. But you will see something and then you'll look away as opposed to denying it. Like, oh, that shame is too hard to look at. So if you go into the shame, if you go into the things that make you feel shameful when you are having a Pluto transit, or if you respect Pluto, you're going to come out to it like a fucking phoenix. You know, it's really going to change your life, change your attitude, help you be nicer to people, help you be more sympathetic, empathetic.
Kind
of yourself
too.
You're going to understand. And yes. Yeah, definitely.
I know. I'm almost picturing, like, you know, you're digging around in the earth and there's like this awful weed that's been growing in your garden. It's been choking things out and you, like, it's completely taken things over. But the Pluto transit is like, you know, if you can dig around and find the root of that and pull it out, then suddenly your garden's going to thrive. It's going to be this beautiful thing. But you have to, you can't just pull the root, like pull it out at the top, or it's going to keep coming back. Pluto transits make you dig for that root system and find it and pull it out.
I keep thinking of wisteria as you're talking.
Ooh.
And that's a very invasive root.
Yeah.
But the word wisteria, that is what it's called,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, wisteria is a plant, yeah.
The word, that word sounds like what we're talking about. Like you're having a wisteria transit. It is.
Ooh,
like,
I like that. I'm going to say that to myself.
And, yeah.
I'm about to get hit by 3 Pluto transits in November, so.
What's it going to hit?
It's going to oppose my Mercury again. It did that earlier this year, my Cancer Mercury. It's sextiling my Pisces Ascendant. And what was the other one? There's one more. It is going to square my Jupiter.
Wow.
It's okay.
You'll be fine if some of these are the second time, too, it's happening.
I'm no stranger to Pluto. I've got, like, exact Pluto aspects in my chart. You know, like, if you have, that's another thing. If you have strong Pluto aspects in your natal chart, this is kind of how you live your life anyway, you know?
Yeah, that was a good thing to bring up.
Yeah, because, like, if you have a lot of Scorpio, which I don't, the only Scorpio I have in my chart is my Pluto, which is in Scorpio, but... it's an exact square with my Venus. It's in a loose square to my Sun.
All right, well, that's a wrap before your phone dies. Pluto kills your phone.
Yeah, Pluto is going to murder my phone. All right. Hope you all have a wonderful rest of your Scorpio season. And we'll be back in a couple weeks.
Peace out.
Thanks for listening to Pisces Rising. You can find us on Instagram at Pisces Rising Podcast, email us PiscesRisingPodcast@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook. Have a magical day.